I'd like to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Tonight we will look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 27. Beloved, before we hear God's word, if you would join your hearts together with me in prayer once again. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has indeed shown the light of his mercy upon us and upon this dark age. And Father, we thank you that you have shone the light of your word upon our dark hearts, that we might have eyes to see the glory of Jesus Christ risen from the dead and believe in his promises and in his salvation that he offers in himself. So we thank you, Father, that you have opened our eyes, that we who once were blind are able to see the beauty and the power of your word. So we pray, Father, that you would continually open our eyes to the truth of the gospel, that we might be changed by it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 27. Beloved, this is the word of God. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. This is the word of God. Verse 27 says that as Jesus passed on from there, that is, as he passed on from healing a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and as he passed on from raising a ruler's daughter from the dead. Then right after this interaction with the blind man, another demon-possessed man was brought to him. So we can see how much work Jesus did in one day. Here, two blind men followed him. They probably had some help because they were blind, so they couldn't see. And so, despite their disability, they were desperate. They were desperate to find Jesus, and so they are following him. And they want him to stop and turn to them. And so they use their voices in an attempt to do this. They were crying out to him. They were crying aloud to him. They wanted Jesus to turn to him and show them mercy. They say even that. Have mercy on us. Now, mercy is what they were looking for from Jesus. That is what they were after, is mercy. We have seen that mercy is an expression of God's goodness to those who are in a pitiable condition. These men were blind. They could not see. They were walking in darkness. No doubt they had heard of Jesus' power, the miracles that he had performed. They had heard about these things. And so specifically, they were hoping to have their eyesight restored. That was the specific mercy that they wanted from Jesus. Now, an almost identical interaction occurs much later in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 20. Two blind men cry out, to Jesus. They're asking for the same thing, for mercy. They cry out for mercy. And they also call Jesus the Son of David. Two times they call him the Son of David. Now, of course, Jesus is merciful, and he opens their eyes. Now, it's interesting, though, that four blind men in Matthew's gospel recognize Jesus as the Son of David. Four men who were physically walking in darkness understood who he was and what it meant for him to be walking on earth. four blind men could actually see Jesus for who he truly was. Now, what were they affirming, though, with this title, the Son of David? Well, they were affirming primarily, essentially, that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Christ, the Messiah of God. He was the Messiah of God promised by God in the Old Testament scriptures. Matthew, the gospel writer, also calls Jesus the Son of David at the beginning of his gospel. The book of the genealogy, this is how this gospel begins, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Even the Pharisees knew on some level that the Messiah would be a descendant of David, the king. Jesus asked them, he asked the Pharisees at one point, about the Christ, whose son is he? Whose son is the Messiah that is to come? And they answered, the Pharisees, the Son of David. But their conception of kingship, they knew a king was coming, or they were hoping in a king, a Son of David. Their conception of kingship was missed, so they did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. They did not see Jesus as the Son of David, as the one who was promised to come. Why? Because they were spiritually blind. They could physically see things, unlike these four blind men. But the Pharisees, the unbelieving Jews, they were spiritually blind. The eyes of their hearts had been completely darkened. They could not see Christ and his significance. But these men who were physically blind, they did see. They were blind, but they could see. They call him the Son of David and Lord. Verse 28, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Jesus said. And they say, "Yes, Lord." Affirming that Jesus is the Son of David is an affirmation that he is the Messiah and therefore the rightful heir to the throne of Israel. He is the rightful king. In 1 Samuel 7, God promised David, when David was still alive, when he was about to reign and he had been set apart as the king of Israel, God promised David that one of his descendants would sit on the throne, would sit on the throne of Israel. His kingdom would be established forever. That is the promise that the Jews were hanging on to, that one like David or one of David's offspring would raise up and bring glory back to Israel. This is part of the promise that they held out for themselves when they were thinking about the Messiah. Now, Jesus is both divine and human. According to his divine nature, he is the Son of God. According to his human nature, he is the Son of David. The genealogy at the beginning of this gospel proves this. That was the point at the beginning. We looked at that a long time ago when we started this series. Matthew puts the genealogy up front in his gospel to prove just that, that Jesus is the rightful heir to the throne of Israel, that he is the Son of David. He was born to Mary, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was conceived in her womb and born to her. And he was legally adopted by Joseph, a blood descendant of King David, of the tribe of Judah. And so Jesus, by adoption, is properly engrafted into the line of David. That was proven at the very beginning of this gospel. Jesus is the Son of David. He is the rightful heir. He is the Messiah. Jesus is the King of Israel. Now, because the King has come, if this is true, and he is the Son of David, as these blind men say that he is, as Matthew says that he is, if the King has come, then the kingdom has come. He is the King of a kingdom. And with the coming of the kingdom has come. It has been coming from the beginning when Jesus came and died and was raised, and it continues to advance in the world. You are part of that kingdom. You are part of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Now, one of the characteristics of Christ's kingdom is that it comes in power. Jesus at first ignores the cries of the blind men here. He walks into a house. I think he does this to see if the blind men would continue to follow him, just to see how desperate they were. He was probably testing their faith, and they did have faith. He asked them, "Do you believe?" And they responded, "Yes." And then Jesus said, "According to your faith," that is, they trusted in Christ. They had faith. And so it takes spiritual eyes to see. That is something of what we learn here. It takes spiritual eyes to see. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. And this is why Jesus said that the Pharisees, even though they could physically see, they were still very much blind. They were walking around in darkness. They did not have spiritual eyes to see the glory of Jesus Christ. When Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Or to put it another way, he was saying to them, "Do you believe I have the power? Do you believe that the kingdom is coming in power? Because the king has come in power," essentially. And that is what it means to believe in Jesus, friends. To believe in Jesus as Lord. To receive him by faith as the Son of David. Therefore, as your king. To believe in Jesus as the Son of David and to humble yourselves before him as the true King of Israel and the King of heaven and earth. To do that means that you affirm that he has the power to heal you and that he is merciful. That is what that means. To receive him as your king, you recognize his power to forgive your sins, his power to spiritually heal you, to open the eyes of your heart, and to be merciful to you. "Have mercy upon us, Son of David," is what these blind men cry out. Now, this is what Messiah is, friends. He has the power to reverse the effects of the fall. That's what he does. Blindness exists in human experience because Adam sinned. Because he brought sin and death into the world, and therefore our bodies die. Our physical bodies die. Our eyesight dies. Our hearing dies. And so blindness is in this world precisely because of sin. And by Jesus reversing the effects of the blindness in these men, he shows that he has the power to reverse the effects of the fall and that he is infinitely merciful. That he is merciful, that he is ready to show those who need mercy, mercy. Those who believe in Jesus, Jesus shows them mercy. He gives you eyes to see his glory and truly recognize him as the rightful king of Israel, your king, because you are the true Israel. And so this is what Jesus does. This is what it means for you and I to affirm that Jesus is the Son of David and for these blind men to confess this. Now, the confession of these blind men was confirmed when Jesus healed them. Verse 29, he touched their eyes. "According to your faith, may it be done for you." And then verse 30, and their eyes were opened. And this is what Jesus does with us. He touches us by his gospel and he causes us to see clearly, to see him clearly, to see Jesus clearly. If you do not have eyes of faith that Jesus gives to you, then the Bible will be a dead letter. It will be cold and powerless. If you are still spiritually blind, as many in Israel were. But because Jesus is merciful and because he touches you by his Spirit, by his word, he has opened your eyes to see the power of his word and to see what he is and what he means to you. And so he gives us mercy. He touches us so that we may see him clearly, but also that we may see all of reality clearly. That is what faith does as well. Everything you see then in Christ takes on a whole new light. You are able to interpret all of reality, all of human experience properly, truthfully. That is what happens for the believer. So if you're sitting here tonight and you have faith in Christ, you are wiser on many levels than the wisest men and women, the wisest unbelieving men and women in any area of knowledge that you can select. Science, biology, philosophy, psychology, whatever it may be. Because the eyes of their hearts have not been opened to see the gospel, to see Jesus clearly, they interpret all of reality falsely. They are walking in darkness. And so as a Christian, you are wiser than some of the wisest people on the planet because Jesus gives you eyes to see. With one touch and with a word from the king, these men were introduced into a whole new world. Think about what these men had experienced. They had been blind. All they had known up until this point in regard to what they saw was blackness, darkness. Now they are healed by Jesus and they are introduced into a whole new world. A world full of sunlight, a world full of trees, people's faces. This is what Jesus gave to them. Now, Jesus sternly warned them not to publicly announce what had happened to them. Of course, people would find out their sight, the sight of these two blind men was restored. It would be virtually impossible to keep this under wraps. But Jesus did not want them to make it a point to announce it in the streets that they had received their eyesight back from Christ. Why? Well, because Jesus, the Son of David, he wasn't on earth. He wasn't there in Israel just for the miracles. That is not primarily why he was there, just to give people physical healing, though he did that. He wasn't there to display a power that could be used to overthrow earthly nations. He was there as king, as the Son of David, and therefore to bring down Satan from his throne. That is why he was there. And the miracles confirm that about him, and they point to the power that he has to do just that, to bring Satan down, to undo the ravaging effects of death and sin. And this, friends, only the Messiah could do. And only the Messiah could do this, or the Messiah could do this only by being humiliated on a cross. That is why he was here. A confirmation of this man Jesus as the Son of David was also confirmation that he must suffer as David suffered. Before David took the throne, he suffered greatly at the hands of Saul. The Jews decided to forget this aspect of David's glorious history. They only wanted what came afterwards, the glory, the earthly glory that God brought for a time to Israel under the kingship of David. But David, if you remember, suffered greatly at the hands of Saul. He was the rightful king, the rightful heir to the throne. He had already been set apart by God, and yet Saul tried to kill him on multiple occasions, and he was cast out from his homeland. He was chased down for a long time as Saul sought to do away with David, the king. And so David suffered greatly. And so to confirm Jesus as the Son of David confirms also that this man, Jesus, must also suffer if he is to rightfully take his place on the throne. But the Jews failed to understand this. They failed to grasp this notion. The humiliation of the Son of David was why so many in Israel rejected him. Their perceived king, their perceived Son of David, was supposed to bring them earthly glory. He was supposed to come in earthly pomp, earthly power, earthly strength, earthly riches and prosperity. That is what they were supposed to tap into when the Son of David came. But the true Son of David said this. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He has a kingdom. He is the king of a kingdom, but it's not of this world. Now, these men with newly gifted eyesight, of course, they do not listen to Jesus. They spread his fame throughout all the district. And so against Jesus' wishes, his fame is spreading. His popularity is growing. And what this does in this gospel is begin to set up a confrontation between the true son of David, the king of Israel, and the nation of Israel herself. It's beginning to come to light that Jesus is claiming for himself messiahship. Others are seeing this. Others are saying this. Blind men are crying out to him, confirming that he is the son of David who has come. But what does that actually mean? What does it mean for the son of David to be here? What does it require from Israel? That is where we're headed. And as we see the glory of Jesus become more and more clear, more and more apparent, there will be a confrontation between Jesus and the nation of Israel herself. There were many in the kingdom who did not belong there, and their lack of faith was exposed when the king arrives. That is what is taking place. Instead of bowing the knee to Jesus, they instead bowed up to him and had him crucified. But crucifixion, friends, is where the son of David was headed all along. That is where the king was supposed to go. Not many in Israel understood this or would accept this. And so they crucified him. And Matthew sets this up beautifully in his gospel. His fame is spreading, but their confrontation is coming. Their understanding of the Messiah was about to be undone or exposed. And so we have to appreciate, friends, from the text that the Son of David came to die. He came to suffer, to be humiliated. And in fact, that's what it means for him to be the Son of David, to rightfully take his throne, that he would lay down his life for the kingdom. And so we have to ask ourselves here, are we content knowing that following the Son of David means that we will continually undergo humiliation, that we will continually suffer in this world as we follow the Son of David? Do we accept that? Are we content with that? Are we joyful in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he has given us a whole new world? He has given us eyes to see. But as we have been given that wonderful gift, we've also been given the gift of suffering in him in this age. And so this is something that even faithful Christians struggle with, and even Jesus' closest disciples struggled with at times. If we are to properly experience Jesus' power and mercy, we must also embrace the suffering that goes along with this. And so, friends, let us receive Jesus Christ by faith. Let us follow him with joy, knowing that he has given us eyes to see. To Christ be all praise and glory now and forevermore.